To just push record. Okay, hello, welcome to Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in, Sketchbookers. I appreciate your patronage, your viewing, and your listening to this podcast. A lot happened in the past couple days, and one of the things that happened, I am super excited about because I had my doubts, and I'm sure a lot of other people had their doubts, but I think the company pulled through, and it's a really cool design. There were a couple other things that happened in the automotive industry that I want to talk about, but I don't want to focus entirely on automotive today. I'm just going to get that little brief part out of the way, and then we're going to flip over to film because there's a lot of cool things happening in film, and the world we're living in is making for a very interesting platform, if you will, for film and TV, actually. So let's talk about that in a second. We will be right back with more Sketchbook Audio. Okay, Sketchbookers, welcome back to Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. I mentioned earlier that we would talk about a couple things that happened in the automotive industry, and then we are going to take a turn into film and television. So without further ado, let's talk about the automotive industry. And if you're watching on Twitch, that is Sketchbook_audio. Just as it sounds, no fancy numbers or letters, just that underscore in between Sketchbook and Audio. And first and foremost, I appreciate you following me on Sketchbook Audio. You can also follow on Sketchbook Audio on Instagram as well, if you would like. And while we are talking about that, if you're following on Twitch, you can see my Instagram right here. Typically, what I post here is mainly my sketch designs, but also if you follow my story and you follow everything else on my feed, you will see that I post a lot of automotive news. And lately, I've been doing giveaways, and these giveaways are turning out to be pretty popular. Recently, I gave away a copy of a book that I absolutely love. It's a great tool, and it helped me, and it's helped a lot of other people. So I want to get this book out there to everybody if I possibly can. And that book is I Draw Cars from a company called I Draw Co. And you can see it on the back there. Go ahead and give them a follow. Great people, great book. And if you follow me on Instagram, which you should be, I will be doing another giveaway very soon, probably at the end of this week or early next week. I did it for Valentine's Day because it's Valentine's Day and everybody loves receiving gifts on Valentine's Day. So that's what we might continue to do, is sort of a holiday thing. But if you're on Sketchbook Audio for my Instagram account, you will see a lot of the latest news that I talk about. And recently, if you've been following, I talked about the new Mitsubishi Outlander. And that's a big deal because, and let me fix my, hold on one second. I need to fix my lighting. Got a little fuzzy in here.
Let me fix my camera lens.
Hey. Okay. I'm still blurry, but that is all right. We will, you guys don't need to see all the details of my pretty face. Or do you? If you want to, we can talk about that later. But for right now, that will do. I don't know why it's, hello, camera. Focus on me. Okay. Hi. Well, whatever it's doing, we'll deal with that later. To the people who are listening just on the podcast, I apologize because there's a lot of stuff going on. Anyways, back to the important stuff. We're going to go on autoblog.com, which is one of my favorite websites to discuss automotive stuff. And I'm going to pull up this bit about the Outlander. What is new about the Outlander? Well, virtually everything. It sits on a platform now shared with Nissan. And if you're new to the whole what's going on with Mitsubishi and Nissan, why did I mention the two companies together? Well, Nissan is now the parent to Mitsubishi. And that's nothing really new or surprising because Mitsubishi has been using a lot of Nissan tech for a long time, including their transmission and a few other things here and there. They haven't shared platforms or interior components and stuff like that. It's mostly been technology. So this isn't a surprising partnership or ownership for that matter. they're both from Japan. So, you know, again, like I said, it comes as no surprise. But the new Outlander is based off of the Nissan Rogue, which was just redesigned, and it looks pretty good. It's not a bad looking car. Let me pull it up here real quick. Nissan has done a really good job of reinventing themselves, so to speak, because there's a lot of car companies that are just making crossover after crossover. And for a little while, Nissan's styling has been a little bland. And then a lot of people have not had very good experiences with their transmission, the CVT. We'll talk about that later. But here's the new Nissan Rogue. That's the Rogue Sport. I apologize. Here's the new Nissan Rogue. If you're following on Twitch, for those of you who are listening on the podcast, I apologize. You don't get any pretty pictures. So that means you should just go follow me on Twitch, sketchbook_audio, or you can follow along on Instagram as well. But you look at the new Nissan Rogue, and the thing that I was kind of surprised about was it got boxier. It got more square, and I guess you could say it looks like it's more capable and rugged. The interior went way upscale, and I like it. It looks good. It's very handsome. I like the colors. You know me, I talk about how much I hate. Here's an all-black interior version of it. I just abhor this all-black look. But then you look at this really elegant diamond stitching on the seats. And they're not even quite diamonds. They're these weird, it almost looks like the Volcom symbol. And I love Volcom, so that is very good to me. But you look at the design, and it looks way better. The fit and finish is nice. It looks more upscale. The technology is clearly there. But the exterior, like I said, I was surprised to see, and that's the Kashki, I believe, or Kashi. I can never remember how to pronounce it. But you look at the exterior, and it's a bit more bold. Now, we knew bold and more muscular was coming as they previewed it before in the X-Trail concept, along with a couple other concepts. So we knew it was coming. Nissan was going to make their products look a bit, especially their larger SUVs and their trucks, they were going to make them look more capable, bold, and sporty. Now, I say sporty, and don't get it misconstrued with the sportiness of the Nissan 370Z or the future Nissan 400Z, whatever it's going to be called, Fair Lady Z, who knows. There's two different kinds of sporties. There's the sporty that's like racing and fast and aggressive, and then there's sporty for the off-roading, the outdoors people, and the people who like to go anywhere, do anything type people, the Jeep people. So two different mindsets with the same word. Don't get them mixed up. But Nissan was clearly going with the latter on the more outdoor friendly and capable. Now, Nissan knows outdoor products, and so does Mitsubishi. They've had a history of good outdoor trucks, utility vehicles, and off-roaders. There's no question about that. But I'm curious about the position of the Rogue, because when you look at the previous Rogue, and this is the Rogue Sport, but if you looked at the Rogue before, it was rounder, it was softer, and it, you know, whether you liked it or not, here's the Rogue. You never would have looked at it and said, oh, I'm going to take this bad boy off-road. No. You looked at it and said, this is a good city vehicle, it's reliable, it looks pretty good, especially in these colors, and I don't need the capability or the insane amount of power that would come with a Grand Cherokee or a Cherokee. I shouldn't say insane amount of power, but certainly more power if you get like the 2.0 turbo on the Jeeps, or of course in the Grand Cherokee, the Hemi. So it was interesting to see them go from soft roader to what I hope is a more aggressive off-roader. They did the same thing with the Pathfinder, which I'm now showing right now on Twitch. And the Pathfinder in its previous generation was extremely soft. It was very fluid and round, and I would have never taken it off-road. Now, I feel like it's a good competitor to the Toyota 4Runner, which is a good thing because the Toyota 4Runner sells very well. I'm sad that the Nissan Juke is gone. And I know a lot of people in the United States don't really care. They don't feel the same way I do. But for those of you who are listening to this podcast and you're in Europe or you're in Japan, good on you for being able to keep cool looking crossovers and hatchbacks. Because I really wish we still had those vehicles. In fact, I wish we had the Captur and the I can never pronounce it properly, but I'm looking at the letters and it's Kashi or Kashki, however you want to say it. But I wish we had that styling, and we just don't. We get these blockier SUVs, and it makes sense because more people in like South Africa, Australia, and the United States do the off-roading. It's not seen too much like in London or urban Japan because there's nowhere to go off-roading. So anywho, that's where Nissan's at. And of course, because they own Mitsubishi now, that's where Mitsubishi is going. But like I said before, Mitsubishi does have a history of off-roading capable vehicles. Outlander not being one of them, but they've had the Montero, the Shogun, the Triton truck, a few other vehicles out there that, you know, over its history that have been very good at going off-road. The best name for Mitsubishi, though, for off-roading, of course, is the Lancer Evolution. We just ended with the Lancer Evolution X not too long ago, so we're hoping to see a Lancer Evolution 11 or something along those lines. We're hoping, of course, that it does not follow in the same path as the Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross because, for one, we already have a crossover that makes no sense with its name, and two, the Rally Arts and the Lancer Evos were sedans. They were competent, expensive sedans. But that's where a lot of the technology and the understanding of off-roading performance and capability comes from. So it'll be interesting to see what comes from that. But with the Outlander, I really like the fact that it got a little bigger. It certainly looks more mature. There's a lot of technology available on this vehicle. It's going to get the whole Nissan ProPilot assist system. It's going to be called the Mitsubishi My Assist, which, you know, whatever, MI for Mitsubishi, cool. But looking at the exterior, it's certainly more bold. It got bigger, like I said. It doesn't look anything like the Nissan Rogue. It probably, you know, feels about the same as far as size goes. But overall, it's a handsome-looking vehicle, and it held to its the Engelbert Tourer design concept very well. In fact, the only thing that's really different is the texturing on this grille, this dynamic shield. The headlights or these daytime running lights got a little thicker, but that makes sense. And then this lower skid plate or chin spoiler, if you will, got simplified, and it doesn't have the LED lights. And of course, the most notable thing that changed was the roof rack is now gone. And that roof rack was really cool because it had LED lights and for off-roading. So Mitsubishi hinted that this vehicle would be very capable. Now, unfortunately, as far as power goes, to those who are wondering, oh, what's going to motivate this larger SUV? Well, you're not going to be too thrilled about it because it's only a 181 horsepower, 181 pound-foot of torque, 2.5 liter. That's kind of unfortunate because Toyota's 2.5 liter, which powers a lot of their vehicles, their SUVs now, particularly the RAV4, is more potent. But hopefully Mitsubishi will be able to get good fuel economy out of this because Toyota managed to get pretty good fuel economy out of theirs. Also, and I can just hear the moaning right now, we get a CVT in this. Whatever, I'll deal with it. But Mitsubishi has been using JATCO's CVT for a long time. FCA, in fact, used it as well. And of course, JATCO is owned by Nissan. So that's probably where all that came from. I can't remember exactly what powers the Rogue, but I wouldn't doubt that it's very similar. Now we get in the interior, and you can see it borrows a little bit from the Rogue, but it certainly looks better than the outgoing Outlander. So good for Mitsubishi for really pushing the limits on their design and giving us something that looks, you know, like it belongs in the 2020s. The diamond pleated seats, the leather on the dash, materials look softer, more elegant. Even the chrome and the silver finish looks just better. It looks high class, high end. And this vehicle starts at $26,000, so it's not a bad price at all. And unlike the Rogue, the Nissan or I'm sorry, the Nissan Rogue, the Mitsubishi Outlander has three rows of seats. So for those who are looking for a few more seats for their larger family or for a pet, or just for more cargo and storage space, the Outlander might be the car to go with regardless of its power. Now, if you're feeling like the underwhelming 2.5 liter is just not for you at all, it's just not going to work, don't worry, a plug-in hybrid is coming and that should be a bit more potent. That's the one I would be waiting for, and I'm pretty excited about this. Now, the one last thing I want to talk about was this Alcantara color option that comes in the Mitsubishi Outlander. It's very similar to what Nissan is using, probably a little bit more orange than what Nissan is using, but it looks good, and the stitching is totally different with this package. But what one thing I noticed that I really like was the fact that these color combos are very similar to what the Eclipse ended with back in 2015 or 16. So, or maybe it was 14, 15, I can't remember. But it had this Alcantara orange, well, I'm sorry, not Alcantara, terracotta. I keep saying Alcantara. Alcantara is the suede, but which I don't see in this vehicle, but whatever. Terracotta was the color. It's kind of like an orange clayish color. And then the black. What's missing, though, is that white. So if they were to blend this white, this orange, and then the black, this could be a really good looking vehicle. I think it looks fine right now as it is, and I'm pretty excited about seeing this thing in person. Now, unfortunately, some people have said that the new Rogue feels a little underpowered, a little underwhelming, doesn't handle as well, it's not as comfortable. So maybe with all of the money that Mitsubishi spent on its ride handling and performance and comfort, this vehicle will feel a little bit better. That's all I wanted to talk about for cars. There's not a lot coming up yet. I can mention real quick that Hyundai did finally show us what the American version of the Kona looks like, including the normal civilian Kona, and then the Kona Electric, and then the Kona N line. What we haven't seen yet is the Kona N, and I'm really excited about that, and that's the vehicle that I want to talk to you guys about when we see it. So when I get a reveal date, I'm going to have a little reveal party on my Instagram as well as on Twitch. So be sure to follow with that because it could be pretty cool. All right. So we've talked about the automotive industry. Let's move into the movie business because there are some big movies coming out. And at first, I want to start with HBO Max because if you've been reading the news, if you've been following along, there's a lot of movies that we were going to see in the theaters that we are now going to get either in the theaters and in HBO Max or just straight to HBO Max. And it makes sense. You know, not everybody's super thrilled about this pandemic. So being able to go to the theater is, well, hasn't even been an option. A lot of theaters have been closed, but, you know, some people just aren't comfortable with it yet. I'm fine because I know that for the most part, the theaters are pretty empty during the day. They are anyways. The only people that go there are the elderly. So, you know, I'm not going to go on a Friday night like I used to, but certainly I think you would be fine going during the morning, the first few showings or early afternoon. But let's talk about the movies that are coming out because we have a 4-hour long Zack Snyder's Justice League, which is going to be epic. Have you guys seen it? We have the Joker actually in there. Now he might be in the nightmare scene, but you know, we don't know. This could be anything and everything, all things go, no holds barred, no holding back for Zack Snyder. He gets 4 hours to make this, to show us and wow us with his essentially defiant personality against WB. So that I am really excited for. I think my favorite part about that movie is the filter and the texture and the emotions that his lighting evokes. It's so good, and it's scary, and it's just wow. It's super interesting. He did a great job with Man of Steel. He did even better with Batman vs. Superman. Justice League was, you know, I don't even think he wants to tie his name to the majority of the Justice League movie, and I get it. Joss Whedon took over, and then it just kind of went downhill. You can tell that there is a clear break between his style and Joss Whedon's style, and Now, with the whole Joss Whedon debacle, I don't think that that movie is going to last long in the histories of DC or WB. It's just going to be kind of like Donald Trump's presidency. We're going to know that he was president number 45 or whatever, but we're not going to really remember him for much of anything else. You know, he gets a number tacked onto him. So for Justice League, the movie, you know, it was a stepping stone towards the rest of the Justice League individual movies and another, you know, big universe for Marvel or for DC. Have you been watching, speaking of Marvel, have you been watching WandaVision? I'm not going to give any spoilers, but all I got to say is there is so much going on at Marvel right now and in the MCU. I don't know how they keep track of anything anymore, because thing is, though, they do a good job of it. They've made this web of stories and theories and backstories. It's just so good. What I'm a little bit nervous about, though, is the fact that we're not seeing, we still haven't seen Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow, her solo movie. We still haven't seen that. All of the other movies have gotten pushed back. Morbius is pushed back to 2022. Spider-Man, whatever the next name is going to be, got pushed back a little bit. Venom is supposed to tie in some way, shape, or form. There's people talking about there being multiple Spider-Mans on the scene down in Atlanta. So anything can go, but WandaVerse is doing a really good job of filling the gap between a lot of the movies that happened before, like Age of Ultron, Spider-Man Far From Home, and Avengers Endgame, and setting us up for what could happen in the future. And I will just give one little spoiler, and that's the word sword. We have shield, now we have sword. That's all I'm going to say. Definitely check out WandaVision if you haven't yet, and then get yourself psyched for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because that's coming out very soon. So the next thing out that's coming out that I am personally so excited for is Godzilla vs. King Kong. Long-term Godzilla fan. Big. I got all the movies back when they were on tape in black and white when I could. And then as time went on, I collected every magazine, every comic book. I have it all. I'm not a big toy collector on the Godzilla thing because they never really looked right. But up until now, I think there's some really cool, promising toys and statues and action figures coming out for Godzilla. So speaking of action figures, one of those action figures kind of gave us a hint at what's going to happen in Godzilla versus King Kong, and that's King Kong has an axe, and not just any axe. It's an axe made from a bone and one of Godzilla's sails or his spikes. What's that about? And if you've seen the trailer, you will see that somehow that spike or sail can collect Godzilla's radiation breath, his atomic breath. So this could be a really crazy battle. Even more insane is the fact that there might be two Godzillas in this movie. And if you watch the trailer really closely, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to spoil it too much more. You'll have to go watch the trailer. The next set of movies that's coming out, we've seen Tenet pretty much went straight to, like, it was caught right in between Let's Shut Down the Theaters and HBO Max actually coming out. So Tenet went essentially straight to HBO Max, and you could see it in whatever theaters were opening. But we also have Judas and the Black Messiah, Tom and Jerry with Chloe Grace Moretz. That'll be interesting. The next one that's going to be really awesome because it has a whole new director is The Suicide Squad. Now, this could be really weird, or it could be really good, or it could flop like the previous one did. And I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere in the middle because we have James Gunn directing it, which if you know anything about James Gunn was doing Guardians of the Galaxy, and then he kind of got kicked off for some things that he said a long time ago, which is unfortunate. And then they brought him on, WB brought him on, to do Suicide Squad 2. But don't call it Suicide Squad 2. It's kind of a reboot because Will Smith is no longer in there, and now you have Idris Elba, and you have all these other characters, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but it could be really awesome. I just hope Jared Leto's Joker does show up, but not his Joker from Suicide Squad, rather Zack Snyder's version of the Joker, still using Jared Leto. That could be cool. What could be even more cool is if somehow Ben Affleck gets tied into it, or even Robert Pattinson's Batman. What else is coming out? Many Saints of Newark, not too familiar with that, but The Conjuring. There's a lot of movies that have held that title, The Conjuring, so it's a big series. And now this one is The Devil Made Me Do It. Really excited about that because my wife and I love The Conjuring series, and that should be really good. The last one that's coming out to HBO Max, it's going to be really big, and it means a lot to me because I saw this when I was a little kid, and I loved it. Space Jam. Ah, such a cool movie mix. It was very Looney Tunes, but also a little bit like Roger Rabbit. Not as adult-themed as Roger Rabbit, but it was that cartoon on top of real life, and it worked really well for the original Space Jam. I hope it can work even better for the sequel. Now, the sequel, as far as I know, doesn't have Michael Jordan. He has been replaced by the king, if you will, LeBron James. LeBron James isn't a horrible actor. He did an okay job in Trainwreck. But this could be a new gateway for him, and we will see how he does. Obviously, he's a phenomenal basketball player, but I like the fact that, and unfortunately, it's CG, right? It's not hand-drawn like the original was, or like a lot of the original cartoons was. But I still like the cartoon aspect of it. And as an artist, as an animator, and a cartoon creator, it still holds a very big space in my heart, and I like that. Just like Godzilla did as far as the rubber suit aspect of things, you know, Godzilla has changed almost every movie. That they almost never reuse the exact same suit over and over again, which is really cool. Now, even the Godzilla that's now the legendary version starting in 2014 up until now, he's gotten bigger. So whether that's him aging or they're changing the design a little bit, who knows? He's just getting bigger, much like the original Godzillas did. You know what? There are three other movies that are coming out that are going to be epic. Mortal Kombat, finally. Matrix, yes. Matrix 4 and Dune. Matrix 4 appears to have lost the 4 moniker, and that's okay. If they just want to call it Matrix, that's fine. Is it going to be a prequel? Is it going to be a sequel to Matrix 3? Is it going to be a reboot? We don't know. All we do know is Keanu Reeves is in it. Carrie Ann Moss is in it. And a few other characters are in it as well. I don't know if Lawrence Fishburne is in it, but and those are all the movies that are coming. Oh, real quick, Mortal Kombat. I can't skip over this because the first one I really enjoyed. It's cheesy, it's tacky, but it was fun. Christopher Lambert did a great job as Raiden. But looking at this now, it feels more like that series Mortal Kombat Legacy that came on YouTube on the Machinima channel, or Machinima, however you want to say it. But it feels like it's going to be more, I hate to say realistic, but it's going to feel more brutal and more like the video games, the more recent Mortal Kombat video games. So what I have heard is that a lot of the fatalities will show up. I kind of hope the animalities and the babalities come up because those would be really funny. But the style so far, the costumes and some of the special effects that I've seen in, that are in the trailer and whatnot look really good and way better than they did in the original Mortal Kombat. That's not to say that the original was bad. I liked it, but it wasn't winning an Oscar anytime soon. Dune should be awesome. The book is a great book. It's an epic. It will live on for ages, I hope. But let me show you guys what I'm looking at. You can see if you go to hbomax.com, which I highly recommend getting. It's only 14 or 15 bucks. It's not bad. And you get to see all of these movies for that price. There's no raising the price like Disney did with Mulan, where it was 30 bucks to see it, which actually wasn't a bad price when you think about it. I had 4 people watching it in my house for that $30. So when you think about it, that's actually less than what you would spend at the movie theater, and we could eat and drink whatever we wanted, you know, in the comfort and safety of our home. But you get all of these movies, and you can still see them in theaters if you'd like. but it's not a bad deal. And I think it's something worth looking into if you're trying to figure out, you know, what streaming service should I get next? I wouldn't get Peacock if I were you. Spend your money on something like on HBO Max, but make sure you have a good enough TV to really enjoy this. And I mean big with 4K. You got to go big or go home if you're never going to go back to the movie theaters. Might as well spend the money on a TV. I'm down to my last minute here. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm glad this has worked out. At least it worked out for me. I finally got my Twitch up, which again is sketchbook_audio. If you're following me on anchor.fm or just any other podcast outlet, that is sketchbook audio. No spaces, no underscores, nothing like that. Well, sorry, there is a space between sketchbook and audio, but there's no fancy characters. It's been really good. Thank you for tuning in. Definitely check out my Instagram, sketchbook_audio, for the next giveaway. I will be giving away another book of iDraw Cars, possibly an iDraw Motos, along with some tools that you might need as an artist. Remember, get out there and sketch. Keep your mask on if you're going out. Be good to one another. Be safe and be well. Until next time.